I don't know if you realize it, but we're coming into a very exciting time of year. And you might say that it is when we get some summer relief from the summer and the weather starts getting a little cooler. And I would say to you, that's true. Get that fall weather, but that's not it. Well, is it that the leaves are changing in the beautiful Northeast? Is that it? No, that's not why I'm so excited. Could it be that we're coming up a month away from baseball playoffs and eventually the World Series, or the heart of the NFL season, or the heart of the college football season? Those things are all great, and those are all worthwhile, but that's not why I'm so excited. You see, a month from now, on October 25th, Hallmark Channel will air its first Christmas romance movie. Oh, yes. I'm very excited. You see, my son has moved out, and so we have my two daughters who live in the house. My wife, Julie, lives in the house, and our dog, Molly, lives in the house. And so as a male, I am all alone. And so from October 25th through 2020, I will be immersed in Hallmark Christmases played over and over and over again. And it would be one thing if they would be some different plots, but it is basically the same plot. If you just kind of entertain me for a second here, I want to give you the plot for every Christmas Hallmark romance movie. You see, there is some woman who happens to be very pretty. She is involved in business, and she is engaged to a slick New York City businessman. And for one reason or another, she goes back to her hometown, and she meets a handsome, unassuming shop owner, Christmas tree lot salesman, craftsman, something like that. But he's a very good-looking guy with finely cropped razor stubble. And then during the movie, she kind of comes into this place where her fiancé turns out to be very selfish. And so she breaks up with him. And then she realizes that a part of her life has been missing. And so she restores that. And she finds out that she has feelings for the shop owner, craftsman, Christmas tree salesman. And they all lived happily ever after. I have just summarized the Hallmark Christmas romance season for you. Thank you very much. And then you have to give it a very snappy title, like It's Christmas Carol, or Moonlight and Mistletoe, A Bride for Christmas, A December Bride, A Holiday Engagement, and the ever-popular Merry Christmas. Oh yes, that is actually, there is no messing around with titles here. That's actually a title of a movie. And you have 65 days of Hallmark Christmas romance magic. And I would just ask you to pray for me during this very difficult season for me. So, but a major theme in these movies is that of decisions. And you see it in movies all over the country, anywhere from Star Wars to Apollo 13 on up to current movies. And that is where it is a matter of choices. So it is this lifestyle or that lifestyle. Follow my heart or follow my head. Do what is right or do what is wrong. Choose that this person or that person. And so what we're going to do is we're going into a six-week series called Game Changer. And what we're going to do is get six insights into Jesus Christ. And we're going to start on it today, and then we're going to talk more about who he was, who he is, what he's doing right now. And it is a game changer because who he is, what he does, who he has been, calls for a response from each one of us. And so this week we're going to be talking about that Jesus is God. And some of you might just take that for granted, but there's a lot of controversy out there as to whether Jesus is God or not. And I would say to you that in Scripture, Jesus is God is pointed to cover to cover. So it's not just you think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that it talks about Jesus in those Gospels. And I would say to you that cover to cover, Jesus is pointed to from Genesis through Revelation. And that is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. This is what it means that he came, and this is when he will come again. And this is what it means when he will come again. And so I'm going to give you three reasons today to believe that Jesus is God. The first one is that Jesus said he's God. The second reason is the Bible says Jesus is God. And the last one, I don't know if you fully realize this, but there is prophecy in the Bible that basically in the past it foretold what the Messiah would be like and what the circumstances would be surrounding his life. And prophecy shows that Jesus is God. And so the concept of game changer is actually how we picture Jesus. And I want you to take a trip to what's going on inside your mind. And a lot of times you can picture it as that we are all sitting in a recliner. And it's not neutral, it's not good, it's not bad, but it's just a neutral place that each one of us sits. And then the key question is, where is Jesus in reference to you? And some of us, if we were honest, we'd have to say, you know what? We have him tucked away three drawers down in our mind, that he is not really relevant to all of life. And if you would only see Jesus for who he is, it would be like walking outside and literally seeing the colors and the sunshine and the vibrancy of life that he actually applies to everyday life. But you'll never know until you step outside and you change your perspective on who Jesus is. It can make a difference for all of life. It can make a difference at the grocery store. Believe it or not, it can make a difference in traffic, which many of us need help with, including this guy right here. It can make a difference as you lay your head down at night and all those things go rushing through your mind, the events of the day and the worries of life. It can make a difference at work. It can make a difference in relationships. And he is a game changer if you would only let him. And so here is the key statement that I want to give you today. And what I'm going to seek to do is to give you evidence as to why I believe that, why you should believe it, why we believe it. And that is, Christianity teaches that Jesus is the Messiah, that is the Christ, foretold in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament as the Son of God, who is God. Well, I don't think I have to say it, but it goes without saying that there's people who disagree with that statement. And what I want to do is I want to show you a video of kind of man-on-the-street interviews of what people say about who Jesus is. So some different opinions about who Jesus was and is. And I can tell you that in the major world religions, there is a lot of controversy as to who Jesus was and is. Some might say that he was a good teacher. Maybe you've heard that. Some would say that he was an angel, a miracle worker, a holy man, a prophet, or even a God, small g, but not the God, not fully God, capital G. And so what I want to do is show you three insights into Jesus being God. And the first one is that Jesus said he is God. Do you know that there's some people who would say, you know, well, Jesus never really actually claimed to be God. And so what I want to do is I want to give you three scripture passages where Jesus actually says, I am God. And so the first one is Matthew 4:7. Jesus said to him, this is Satan. Satan was tempting Jesus, and Jesus said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Well, who is being put to the test? Who is being tempted? Jesus was. And so Jesus was actually saying, I am God. He was equating himself with God, saying that you will not put me, the Lord your God, to the test. The next one is John 10:30. Jesus actually said, I and the Father are one. And some would say that, you're one in purpose with God. But you look at the reaction of the crowd, and it was much more than just saying, you know, I and the Father are one. It says that the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And then in verse 33 it says, and the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. So it's very clear, as Jesus was saying, I and the Father are one, the reaction of the crowd lets you know that they understood it, that he was claiming to be God. And the last one is, there's many others, but John 8:58, And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now, that can kind of just skip right by you, except understanding that in Exodus 3:14, I am is a name that God gives to himself. I am the self-existent one. And Jesus, in this passage, when he's saying, before Abraham was born, I am, he has actually given himself a name of God. Well, the next one is that the first insight is that we can have a relationship with God himself. You see, a lot of times we might say, I know this passage, and it brings new light to this passage as we say, you know what, Jesus said this. And if Jesus is God, that's kind of a game changer here. That Jesus says, come to me. He's not saying, come to my teachings. Not saying, come to a set of rules and regulations. Jesus himself, who we're seeing is God, is actually God saying, come to me. Come into relationship with me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so he's asking us to get out of our recliner, take Jesus, the perspective of Jesus, out of the third drawer down, and step outside and see the colors and vibrancy and say, you know what? This Jesus is God. Jesus is saying this. Therefore, God is inviting me into a personal relationship with himself. And so many belief systems do not do that. If you talk about Confucius, you talk about Buddha, you talk about Muhammad, they don't invite you into a relationship with themselves. First of all, they don't claim to be God. Second of all, they just are teachings that we follow, but not the actual person like Jesus is in saying, come to me, come into relationship with me. And it can be like an ongoing conversation that you can have with the Lord of the universe, with Jesus himself, saying, you know what, my day is going like this. My boss is like this. This is the way I feel about family. I'm asking you to help me out in this situation. And it can be this over and over and over again relationship with Jesus Christ himself, who is God. Well, the second one is this. The Bible says that Jesus is God. John 1:1, we'll just kind of center in on verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was another name for Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. In Romans 9:5, and from them the Jewish people is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God forever, over all, forever praised. And so that is actually saying that this is Jesus Christ, and Scripture is calling him God over all. Last one is Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And so another game changer is not only we can have relationship with God himself, but we can have peace. Let's look at this scripture passage again. Jesus says, come to me, I am God, in personal relationship, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I'm in relationship with Jesus, who is God, and being God, when we talk to him about what we're going through, he is actually someone who's able to hear us, first of all. Second of all, he's able to do something about that, and that can give us peace. And so this is a situation. This is the way I feel about it. Well, I don't know if it's any mystery to you, but there are a lot of articles out there about people hating their jobs. I don't know if there would be any kind of amens from the group here, but you know, there's the vast overwhelming majority of people, many articles would say, hate their jobs. Look at the headlines here. 80% of Americans don't like their jobs. Why 2 in 5 Americans want to quit their job? And here's just a little insight of what I've read. What happens is a lot of Americans are tired of their job because of their boss. And it seems that if you trace it down, that bosses become bosses because they were a good technician at what they did. And so someone is a good rock solid engineer or accountant, and then the business actually elevates them up into management to manage other people. And guess what? What makes a good lawyer, what makes a good accountant doesn't always make a good boss. And people become very unhappy because those people don't know how to manage people. And so that's free. That's an extra one there. But Jesus Christ can actually do something about your situation. So you say, you know, we can have peace with him no matter what. And I'm not saying that he can actually change your circumstances all the time, but when you have the Lord Jesus that you can go to daily, in the moment, at work, or at home, as you're feeling this way about work, or you're feeling this way about family, or you're feeling this way about situation, it can be this ongoing conversation with him. And you can say, you know what? The outcome of all this is Jesus has it. He's got it. Well, my youngest daughter is here, and I'm going to put her on the spot for a second, but not really. But we were at a volleyball game the other night, and it was absolutely tension-filled, and emotions were up to here with both sides. And we were at Hatboro Horsham Hatters, who were a very good team, and we wanted to beat them. And so we were kind of getting all riled up, and we were getting the blood pressure was going up, And I can remember, and I've done this many times in my life, thinking to myself, wait a second here. If they win or if they lose, Jesus is still Lord, and he loves me like crazy. And I've thought that throughout many things in life that we get our stomachs turning about and our blood pressure up about, and thinking to myself, as I've been in sports competition, saying, you know what, hold on a second here. Whether I do well or I do poorly, Jesus is still Lord and he loves me like crazy. Or you can probably tell that I've been a musician, have done public performing many times and getting those nerves up, saying, you know, what if I mess up? What if my fingers do the wrong thing or whatever? And saying, wait a second here. Whether I do well or I do poorly, Jesus is still Lord and he loves me like crazy. If this life circumstance goes this way or that way, same principle. If my job turns out well or doesn't turn out well, we can have that peace that kind of rides through the middle that we say, you know what? Jesus is in control. He's Lord, and he loves me like crazy. Well, the last thing, and this is just very, very interesting, and I don't know how many of you have actually dove into prophecy, but prophecy is basically foretelling, largely in the Old Testament, thousand, even hundreds of years before Jesus came, what the Messiah would be like, what the circumstances would be surrounding his life. And as that was prophesied, what the future would hold, who would be the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled not one, not 20, not 70, but 300 some prophecies about who the Messiah would be. Well, Isaiah 9:6 makes it very clear that the coming Messiah was not just a good teacher, was not just a prophet, was not just a healer, but it was God himself. It says, for a child will be born to us. When was a child ever born to us? Jesus. And look at one of the names that this scripture passage gives to him. He'll be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And so as scripture foretold the Messiah, it was foretelling not a great teacher, not a prophet, not a great healer, but it was actually foretelling that God would be walking on planet Earth. And so what I want to do is look at a few scripture passages. Did you know that hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah 7:14 promised that the Messiah would be born of a virgin? It was fulfilled in Luke 1:34. Did you know that it was promised that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem? Well, if you're a child, you can't direct where you're born. It's only you're born in Bethlehem through a miracle and through the divine guidance of God. It was fulfilled that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Matthew 2:1. Did you know that it prophesied that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem riding on not just a donkey, but a donkey's colt, prophesied in Zechariah, fulfilled in Matthew 21. Did you know that the crucifixion was prophesied, was promised, was predicted hundreds of years before the Romans even invented crucifixion? In Psalm 22, it is predicted that the Messiah would be pierced in his hands and feet. And we see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ that he was crucified. And that's the way they crucified people. Did you know that as Jesus hung on the cross, they predicted in the Psalms that they would gamble for his clothing as he hung on the cross? Now, let me give you an insight. If you want to make up a false belief system, here's something you don't do. Don't be specific. Be very general, kind of out there. You know, at some time he's going to do something. But this is getting very specific. And so it is specifically promised and it is specifically fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Did you know that the Bible prophesied that the Messiah would be betrayed by a friend? And not only that, and it was fulfilled in Matthew 26, that he would be betrayed for the amount, 30 pieces of silver, what the money, betrayal money would happen with it, that the Judas was remorseful and he threw it into the floor of the temple. Did you know that the money would then be used to buy a potter's field? This was all predicted in Scripture and fulfilled in Jesus. And so, some amazing prophecy, and I could go into an amazing prophecy in Daniel 9 that actually predicts the exact time when the Messiah would be on planet Earth. But the last game changer is wisdom. And let's just look at that scripture passage one more time. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And because Jesus is God, if we simply would step outside and see the vibrancy and colors of relationship with him, we could tap into and access his wisdom because he controls and orchestrates the future. And he can control and orchestrate your life absolutely perfectly. If he can say, this is going to happen 1,000 years or hundreds of years in the future and bring it to fulfillment, he certainly can handle the details of your life to bring about the results that he wants to bring. I can remember my brother, Bill. I watched as his life went from partying and that whole lifestyle, and the Lord flipped around his life. And he actually went to Bible college, and eventually he became a missionary in Kensington, Philadelphia. Now, in North Jersey, I don't know if you know about Kensington, Philadelphia, but basically Kensington, Philadelphia has the highest concentration of drugs in the whole East Coast. And it is an absolutely worn down, drug ridden, welfare infested part of our community. And my brother decided he was going to live there and he's going to become a missionary there. Well, as you look for a wife, it can't just be any wife, because you're right in the middle of, you know, of drugs and everything else under the sun. And so most women would not want to go there. Second of all, most women would not last long there. No, most men would not last there long either. But so he was desiring to get married, and he was 21 years old, 25 years old, no wife, 30 years old, no wife, 33 years old, 34 years old. When he was 37 years old, he married Patsy Roth. And Patsy was a social worker and was used to all the ugliness of life. And they got married, and she moved into Kensington, Philadelphia with him. And I could truly say, we said that in fun over the Hallmark Christmas specials, but I can say to you that they lived happily ever after, that she's happy there. That he is happy to have a wife there. And the Lord perfectly orchestrated this marriage for the perfect woman for this very difficult situation. And so the Lord can orchestrate life after life after life if we would simply take him out of the third drawer down in our minds, step out, see the vibrancy and the colors of a relationship with him. And so Jesus is God. The insights that I wanted to give to you this morning is Jesus said he is God. And the game changer is that we can actually have a relationship with God, not just teachings, not just a bunch of rules and regulations. We can actually have a relationship with God himself. The Bible says Jesus is God, and the game changer is that we can have peace as we give our lives over to him and say, you know what? No matter what happens in my life, the creator of the universe loves me, wants to have a relationship with me, and no matter what, he's crazy in love with me. And finally, prophecy shows that Jesus is God, and the game changer is that we can tap into his wisdom. What he did to orchestrate history to bring about the Messiah fulfilling 300 prophecies is what he can do in each one of our lives. And he can orchestrate our lives as well. Well, the way into relationship, peace, and wisdom is through the cross. And just wanted to let you know this morning that to enter into a relationship with Jesus, the first thing you have to do is understand that we have a problem, and that is sin. And the wages of sin is death. It is separation from God, both in this life and the next. The solution is Christ, that he died on the cross and absorbed the punishment for every sin that we would ever commit. The response is faith. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we talked about this last week, how he offers out the free gift of himself and salvation. And all we can do is respond in faith and say, you know what? I will take and accept that free gift. And the outcome is eternal life. We have all our sins forgiven. We exchange accounts with Jesus. Our sin is considered to be his sin on the cross, and his righteousness is considered to be our righteousness. And so relationship, peace, wisdom is available to everyone if we would simply step outside and see the vibrancy and the colors of a relationship with him. And that is a game changer.